two more classes. That means Tuesday, Wednesday, and next Thursday will therefore be the test. The test, there are no verses on the test. There are some Sanskrit words that are required to know a lot of different hungers and things like that. It's a very, there's information. It's on the surface level, not deep understanding, but you're required to know a lot of the information. What?
Theoretical.
No. Not theoretical. There's a technical teaching term. They're lower order cognitive questions. I don't know how to translate that into English. It means that basically you're going to be asked to remember things that you've read. We've spoken about, basically. U.S. Bishop to bang quietly or somewhere else. So you can start your this week and you can study. So anything else? Any questions?
The test will only be on the 10, 11, and 12.
10, 11, and 12, and 13, and 14. And but 13, the next chapter is just basically goes over this parts of this chapter. And not only is it 10, 6 through 6 onward, 6 to 14. But a lot of the chapters are short. That means it's from page 53 to page 118. So 65 pages. Yes. Say that again? Oh, one of the questions.
So in the question about the
expenses
also?
Huh? What?
Is it going to be question like the question like
no speaker in English.
It's not me, you have to memorize.
How would I know? I am nothing. If I think that I am the doer or the maker, I'm certainly bewildered by false ego. How could I? Who am I? I am nothing. If you memorize the 10 offenses, could there possibly be a loss for you? Huh? Yeah, we'll see. Any other questions? But it's not fair to ask. Is this, are you going to ask on this? But it's on a simple memory level, basically. The question. No questions? Okay. The 54th item, and these, I don't have much to say in addition to these over here. What Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami have said here. Hearing the revealed scriptures, any book which teaches us how to advance in devotional service and bhakti. This is Shastra. There's some other definitions here. Madhavacharya has saying that Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, Parashas, Vedanta. One time, this is only very indirectly connected. One time I was preaching in Singapore. I was all alone. This was in 1974 or something. And somehow or another, I went to an astrologer. And he said, be careful on this such and such date. Which was about a week and a half away. So, and it also happened to be that date was an Ekadasi. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. There was a local Sanatan Dharma temple in Singapore. So I went to this Sanatan Dharma temple and I decided, I'm just going to chant, since something horrible is going to happen, I'm just going to chant and chant and chant and not go out of the temple all day long. So I was chanting, I went into the temple, and I was chanting and chanting. I chanted so many rounds in the temple. Everything seemed very peaceful, nothing horrible happened. And suddenly I saw the priest of the temple. So he walked over, said, Hare Krishna, said, Hare Krishna. And then out of nowhere, he started blaspheming Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya. He started blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. And then I said that Rupa Goswami says, Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Pradyate. And then he started blaspheming Rupa Goswami. And then I said there was so in the Bhagavatam. Then he started blaspheming the Bhagavatam. Everything. He said he was so blasphemous. So something horrible happened that day. Of course, I just walked out of the temple. I could have cut off his tongue, or I could have killed myself, but I walked out of the temple. So I could have killed him, but I walked out of the temple. He started saying that we only believe, these people believe, only in the four Vedas. But actually in the Vedas themselves, they mention the Bhagavatam. In the Upanishads, in the Puranas, everywhere it is mentioned, the Bhagavatam and these other Vedas. But there are some very smarter type of Brahmanas who will only accept the four Vedas. Any across them? These people? Yes? US? Where? South Africa. We don't deal with them. They're nasty people. Huh? So, the fifth Veda, the Bhagavatam clearly says the fifth Veda is the Mahabharata and Puranic literatures. Because Vyasadeva himself has compiled these. And this information is given in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Maybe in the, I can't remember exactly what chapter, I think the fourth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. How Vyasadeva has compiled, because he wasn't feeling satisfied. He had compiled all the different Vedic literatures and yet he wasn't feeling satisfied. Why? He was thinking, maybe it's because I haven't directly glorified Krishna. Because in the Vedas, there's mostly an explanation of karma kanda. And then, in the Upanishads, the remainder of the Vedas, it speaks about Krishna indirectly. And only Krishna is mentioned directly. In very few places, Krishna, the son of Devaki, like this. So the great Acharya, so he wasn't feeling satisfied because Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Yani Adhyasu, no, wrong verse. Yayapma Supasidati. What verse is that? Savaya Pungsam Paro Dharmo Yatya Bhakti Ahojide Ahaitikiya Patiyata Yayapma Supasidati. So one actually, the only thing that can satisfy a soul is when his heart is completely one with Krishna in desire. And he's fully engaged. and pure devotional service, when he has taken shelter of the internal energy of Krishna. So all these literatures, so Vyasadeva wasn't feeling satisfied by Krishna's arrangement. He wasn't feeling satisfied, and he understood, he had an intuition as to why he wasn't feeling satisfied, and Narada Muni confirmed it. His Guru Maharaj came to him and he confirmed, the problem is that you have glorified these other paths and not directly spoken about Krishna and the process of attaining Krishna. And then Vyasadeva, after Narada Muni left, he sat down in meditation. He concentrated his consciousness on Krishna in devotional service, and then he had a full revelation, realization of Krishna, of Maya, of the avatars, of all the living entities, everything. He saw everything. And then after his mature realization of these things, loka janata vidvam, Chakre Savitra Samhita. That then at that time, Vyasadeva compiled, because the people in general, Anartha Upasamam Vidvam Bhakti Yogar Hukhtide. That the mass of people do not have knowledge that all the miseries that are in the heart, which are Anarthas, all the miseries, all the sinful reactions that we carry, they all, the misery that we feel can be removed from, by Bhakti Yoga to Adhok Siddhi, the Supreme Lord. And because the people don't know this, then Vyasadeva compiled the Satpita Samhita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because by this Bhagavatam, Poranarko Dunaditaha, that by this Bhagavatam, people in this age of Kali will get light. This Kali Yuga is darkness personified. It is dark. It is heavy and it is getting worse every day. The leaders are corrupt, and then people lose their faith in the leaders, and then they do whatever they want. And their response to the corruption of the leaders is worse than the corruption of the leaders, but just as bad. No authority. No, everyone just does whatever they like, and Kali Yuga just goes down and down, and degradation increases. So, Poranarko Dunoditaha. Karo Nastadrishamesha Poranarko Dunoditaha. The people will get light from the Bhagavatam, and all literatures and pursuants of the Bhagavatam may also give light in Kali Yuga. That do not conflict with the Bhagavatam, that enliven the soul in devotional service. This analogy, well not the analogy, but in I think it is in Padma Purana, and Narottama Das Thakura stated it, also in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Om Agyana Timirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu San Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Vaynam Ha. That we are born in darkness. This Kali Yuga is darkness. And people are wandering through their darkness to the moment of their death. And our Guru Maharaj has forced our eyes open with the light of transcendental knowledge. And that light is carrying from Bhagavatam. So hearing these scriptures is one of the main angas, especially Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the main, and actually, practically speaking, out of the 10 that are mentioned in this chapter, 5 of them are in the next chapter, repeated again as the 5 most potent forms of devotional service. They're so powerful. So we'll be speaking about these 5 today and also in our next class. So hearing the revealed scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Shushu Sho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahasevaya Vipro Punya Tirtana Sevaran. That this is the result of the service, gaining an attachment to hearing Bhagavatam and Shastra. And that very quickly affects the heart. 55. Residing in Mathura. Vrahadev tells the residents of earth Any person who becomes attached to places other than Mathura will certainly be captured by the illusory energy. So Mathura means Mathura Vrindavan, and it means Navadvipa, Mayapur. Not just Mathura, where one time I was speaking to an old shopkeeper when I first came to Vrindavan, and he said, I vowed never to leave Vrindavan. I will not even go to Mathura, he said. So I said, why won't you go to Mathura? He said, why should I go to Kamsa's place? That was his spirit. So actually, this place of Braja is mentioned by all of it is glorious. Every square inch is glorious. Every place, there were billions and billions and billions of pastimes. Everywhere is holy, right? Pastimes of Krishna. And he's the king of all holy places, Raj. And therefore all the holy places have their place here. There is Bhadarikashram, there is so many places. Place where Lanka to the place where the monkeys built the bridge. What other places are in Braja? Ambikavan, so many places. So even Prabodhananda Saraswati is famous for saying, I don't care, I'm not leaving Braja no matter what. Even if the residents of Vrindavan speak so much garbage, I'm not leaving Vrindavan. So it is said that Vaikuntha is the highest, better than Vaikuntha is Goloka, better than Goloka is Mathura, better than Mathura is Vrindavan, because Krishna's Rasalila pastimes happen in Vrindavan. Better than Vrindavan is where? Govardhan, and better than Govardhan is?
Radhakund.
And because Radhakund and Shyamakund, the most intimate midday pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, Shyamasundar, occurred at Radhakund. There's actually, in different books, there's descriptions of what Radhakund actually looks like. It's huge and covered with jewels and different segments. Different parts are different colors with different trees of different colors, and it's so incredible. Just by touching the land of Mathura. And Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that even if a non-devotee comes to Vrindavan, they feel separation from Krishna. How potent. And I know when you come from the West, my experience is such a, when you land in Delhi, even though we usually come back in July, and you're hitting a wall of heat, warm, humid heat, and then you get knocked out almost by it. But still, it's such a relief to be in India from the West. And then, but Delhi is so helly and smelly. So you get out of the airport and you're driving, and finally you're out of the city and out into the countryside. It's so peaceful and it's such a relief. And then slowly, an hour from Vrindavan at Koshi, at Sheshayi, on the road, you hit Braja, and suddenly the atmosphere gets sweeter. And then you turn, you're going for an hour, and then you turn down Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj's wall. Peacocks.
Wow!
Everything is there. So how wonderful. Prabhupada said, to live in Vrindavan, there's a famous quote, when he was talking about the Gurukula. To live in Vrindavan is the greatest fortune. To grow up in Vrindavan is the greatest blessing. So fortunate. So Prabhupada yet left Vrindavan to preach. So the devotees leave Vrindavan to preach, but that is the only reason why they leave Vrindavan. And when they do leave Vrindavan, they leave their heart in Vrindavan. And they have to come back every now and then to put their heart back in their body, get their body and soul connected again, and then they go out for preaching. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. He didn't want everyone just to sit in Vrindavan, but he wanted the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to manifest Vrindavan everywhere, new Vrindavan everywhere. And in Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada didn't just concoct or manifest a new Vrindavan right there, so Krishna can again feel like he's in Vrindavan. So we should do that everywhere throughout the world. We should manifest Vrindavan. How to do that? By pure devotional service. There's no other way. And Prabhupada, everywhere he went, he manifested Vrindavan. And it felt like Vrindavan. It felt completely different in his association. Completely different. I remember I had that experience when I traveled with him from in 1976 when he left Australia. He went to Fiji, and then he went to Honolulu. He went to first New Zealand, then Fiji, then Honolulu. And I was fortunate enough to travel with him at that time. So I was with Prabhupada a lot. And then after that I went to Los Angeles, and then to Dallas, Texas. And there, for the first time in my life, I did deity worship to real deities, installed deities. Who knows the name of the deities in Dallas, Texas? Huh? Radha Kalachandri. What does Kalachandri mean? Yes. His face is like a black moon. So beautiful. Big and round. Like a moon. So the second I walked on the altar, without any prior thought, because the altar, the atmosphere was so powerful and sweet and surcharged, I immediately thought, this is just like being with Prabhupada. Because the exact same feeling was there as being with Radha Krishna Kalachandri and being with Srila Prabhupada. So what is the purport? And Krishna, Radha and Krishna, certainly never take a step out of Vrindavan. So that dham, the holy man's heart is dham. And in that dham is manifest their worshipable lords, Radha and Krishna. Rendering service to the devotees. This is very, very important. This is even better than serving Krishna. It is the Kanista Adhikari only, the big beginner, the neophyte, who only sees Krishna. And this is a tendency. You worship the deities, love the deity, but the devotees, get out of the way. I want to worship God. But Krishna, when out of love for Krishna, we also serve and worship the devotees. Krishna loves that. He accepts that worship as someone who actually understands. This is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Specifically this. Caring for the other Vaishnavas. Sometimes this does not occur in ISKCON, so it hasn't developed so much yet. But this is actually the mood. Tan de raj charana sevi bhakta sanivas janame hoy e abilas. Translation. Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas.
By serving the lotus feet and by staying within their association. And Janma Janma, that birth of the birth, let me have this desire.
This is the desire. Narottama Das Thakur is praying like this, and all the devotees following Narottama Das Thakur, they pray like this. This is my only desire. E Avilas. Is Janame Janame Hoy. Only this, birth after birth even, I just want to be in the association of devotees and serve them. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, I don't care where I may take my birth, long as it is in the house of the devotee. Even if it is an insect or something. I just want to be have the association of the lotus. So we should be very, 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 very careful when we call each other Prabhu. Prabhupada instituted this very early. But usually in ISKCON, when someone says, "Oh Prabhu," you know he's going to tell you to do something. "Oh Prabhu, can you please do that?" But Prabhu doesn't mean my servant, it means my master. Why are you laughing like that?
Some secret joke.
So really we should think of each other as Prabhu. And then the temples, when the devotees are in that mood, appreciating how Krishna accepts so dearly, he appreciates the service that we do for the Vaishnavas more than the service that we do for him even. You're serving him by painting his fingernails yellow? With your yellow magic marker? No. Huh? Oh. So the verse, Aradhananam Savesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The meaning. Approximately the meaning. Higher than the highest is worship of Tadiya, those things connected with Vishnu. Especially the Vaishnavas, the devotees. We should serve the devotees. We should serve the devotees without holding back. And then we will be so happy. Actually, we will be happy. And no one should think themselves the master of the devotees. Everyone should think themselves the servant of the devotees. So this is true for young devotees, old devotees, everyone. The more older a devotee is, the more he feels dependent and the servant of the Vaishnava. Association, even our Acharya Harani Kashipu has said, "My dear son," he is actually not our Acharya, I'm just testing to see if he had any followers here, but no one, certainly. "My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there." What does it mean if our hearts are crystal clear? Yes. Correct. Yes. What else? What else? Yes.
Sincere.
Without pride. Free from passion and ignorance. That is what I was thinking. But all these answers are good. The next 60... Oh, did I skip some? Yes. Oh, yes. I could not resist. Serving the Lord according to one's position. Very clear. According to what you have, you should give. If you give everything, it is very nice. Performing devotional service in Kartik. We are all going to be here during the month of Kartika. Kartika is very, very, very sweet, especially sweet in Vrindavan. And this Purushottama Mas, this is a very special preacher training semester because we are going to be here during Purushottama Mas also, the month of Purushottama, which comes every 4 years, the leap year. All the benefits of Kartik are available in Purushottama Mas. But there is one difference, that in Kartik if you commit offenses, you get the reactions. But in Purushottama Mas, Vrindavan becomes like Mayapur. No offenses. So, of course, that doesn't mean we should take advantage. Prabhu, I hate you.
Why do you worship Krishna?
Kartik, because it is also called the month of Damodar, and that pastime took place. I think so. But who, the presiding deity of the month of Kartik is Srimati Radharani. She is called Kartikeya. There's a nice name, the Queen of Kartik, she is called. You'll see everything, how sweet Kartik is. And during that time, we should all make vows of something that we should do extra. So some devotees chant extra vows, some devotees don't eat past a certain time, some devotees eat once a day, some devotees walk around Vrindavan every day, anyway, these vows we should make, nice vows. I think it's the 17th or the 18th in a few days. Huh? Yes, in a few days only. And then the Chaturmas is interrupted during that time. It's not Chaturmas during that time. I just told you why. But Srimati Radharani is the queen of Kartik. Some devotees do Dandavat Prakram around Vrindavan in Kartik. Not every day. It takes 19 hours approximately to do Dandavat Prakram around Vrindavan. So if you did that every day, it would be wonderful. And you will do. You'll take that as your vow. 19 hours of Dandavat. Some people do it 2 times a day. But that doesn't help me very much if people are so devoted. So we should take some. It's so nice, these quotes are so nice. It's a nice place. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would come to Vraja during Kartik. Usually. Or sometimes, yeah. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. This Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes would come during Kartik. 59. Observing festivals celebrating the Lord's activities. Very clear. Serving the deity with great devotion. Again. Bhakti Paritam Aslami Paratatmana. That Krishna has the interest in the devotion. So we should engage in nice activities with the deities with devotion. Which, I would like everyone to think a moment and tell me which deities are you most attached to in the world? Radharadhanath in Durban. Radha Shyama Sundar. Radha? Golokananda and Mauritius. Anyone else? Yeah? Krishna, Kali and Fiji. I was there at the cornerstone lane, I told them. Any other deities, devotees are attached to? So how does one become attached to a deity? So do some service. What kind of service should you do? Any service. Do some service for the deities. You can ask, can I do some service? To chant, offer prayers before the deities. To pray. I am so unfortunate, I have no attachment. Please give me some mercy. last year during after Gaur Purnima, some devotees came from Iran. Have any of you ever met the devotees from Iran? There's a group of devotees. One devotee named Mahaprabhu Das. He was the devotee who preached there. Have you met him? Other devotees. But anyway, these devotees are so very nice. As far as I've seen, they're very cultured, very intelligent, very high class people. Very, very, very nice. Yeah? Especially nice. So one time one of the devotees brought, because I was giving some class, Bhagavad Gita class or something in the evenings last year. So after the class, there was one Mataji, maybe 40 years old, she came. She couldn't speak any English, and one of the other devotees was translating. And because these people were all born in Muslim families, so she said she could not relate to the deity. Somehow or another, that conditioning, because in Islam, they really don't like deity worship. And in fact, their temples, there's nothing in their temple practically. Actually, there is nothing in the temple. They're against. And you can see why they got this idea, because you shouldn't speculate on the form of God, and all they can do is speculate, so therefore God has no form. This is what they're thinking. So, she had it in her heart that it was very bad. She could not surrender, she couldn't conceive of, relate to the deity. So she was telling me this and asked me what to do. So Krishna gave me some inspiration that I told her to go in front of Krishna and Balaram, and just stand there and pray to Krishna Balaram and explain everything to them. Just stay there a long time. And you see, and you tell me, first of all, if you think it is ordinary, is the feeling that you get standing in front of the deities the same as anywhere else? But just pray and explain everything to Balaram, and tell Balaram especially that I can't do anything about this, you please help me. So this going before the deity with that devotion, this lady was so pious, so pure-hearted actually. So immediately it was taken away. That problem was taken away from her. Because the problem only existed in the mind. Because out of fear, due to these previous religious teachings, there was a fear that had stuck in her mind. But she had to learn how to listen to her heart and let her heart defeat the mind. And it was so easy by the mercy of Krishna and Balaram. Immediately it went away. So this is the power of approaching the deities with devotion. Yayatam mamapajante, Krishna reciprocates. This is Krishna's special mercy, the deity. Because we cannot see him directly because we are not pure. So he takes this form of the deity, Acha Vigraha. And he reciprocates with us through the form of the deity. So it's such an opportunity. And it's so easy to love Krishna Balaram Gonatai Radhashamasunda Lalita Vishaka. So easy to love the deities because they're so beautiful. So try to do some service to the deities. That's why they're here. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam amongst devotees. So there's a long, not so long, explanation of this. So hearing the revealed scriptures was one, but here recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is special because Bhagavatam is Amala Puran. And in the Bhagavatam, Dharma Kaitava Projita, all other lesser forms of religion other than devotional service are kicked out. Nothing is glorified except pure devotional service. So the Bhagavatam is very special. So we should hear it from the beginning and we should hear it to the end. Prabhupada, he gave us the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam so early. In 1970, he it was printed in 1970. I was in Japan when it was printed. Krishna book, volume 1. Prabhupada wanted to do that. And ISKCON had only been going a few years, and he was only up to the second canto. Not even. The second canto hadn't been printed yet of the Bhagavatam, and yet he gave us the tenth canto, but in a form with built-in purports, practically speaking, so no one can misunderstand. But without knowing the pastimes of Krishna, we cannot advance very much. Because Krishna came specifically to attract us with his Nara Leela. His Leela, which was just like a human being, except it was very special. But he came to attract us. Because we're all looking for that association. We are looking for Krishna in this world. But we are looking in the wrong place. We look for a friend, a lover, perfect child. But we should look to Krishna for all these things. Perfect master. We should look only to Krishna. And the Bhagavatam teaches this, especially in the 10th canto. Who knows the 10 categories of the Bhagavatam? Raise your hand. What is the first one? Narottam. Huh? Sarga. What is Sarga? Creation. Next category. What is Visarga?
Destruction,
annihilation. Third category. What is Sthanam? Maintenance. Fourth category. Awesome. You're looking in your notes. Poshanam. What is Poshanam?
Mercy.
Who's mercy?
Krishna's mercy.
Krishna's mercy. The Lord's mercy. Fifth. Six. Manvantara, the different manvantaras. Six, Uti. What is six? What is Uti? The different drives of the living entity. Like in the story of Ajamil, etc. Push drives, forces that push the living entity, motives, things like that. Seven.
Ishanukata. Speaking about Lord.
I mean, different avatars in its different descents. Eight. Nirodha. What is Nirodha?
Yoga
Nidra or the annihilation, dissolution. And nine. Everyone should remember nine because it takes shelter of ten. Mukti. And ten is Krishna. These are the ten topics. It's not necessary to know this for the test. So the Bhagavatam is really meant, the nine categories are presented to bring us to the point of being able to understand the tenth category, which is Krishna, which is presented in the tenth canto of the Bhagavatam. Bolo.
And this is connected with this tenth category. Because I heard that this is referring to second creation, Brahma's creation.
Secondary creation.
Yeah.
What's the question? Are these the cantos?
No, not only I heard that this Krishna Kaveshka quoted that he referred to annihilation in this saga, so therefore I asked to clarify this.
What? I can't understand.
I have such understanding that this saga is secondary creation.
Yes, so I think that's correct.
I have heard that this referred to annihilation, therefore I asked him. So. Now my doubts are solved.
How were they solved?
Because you confirmed that this refers to secondary creation.
When? Just now?
Yeah.
Oh. I did it unconsciously. I thought you said saga.
No, he's saga. Yeah.
I'll find out. I think you may be right, but I'm not. But it's dissolution. I'll find out. No. I just asked this morning a question.
This is referring to this Sanya which we spoke today, hearing of the scriptures. with such definition that any book which needs enlightenment in the matter of addressing to the devotional service is considered to be revealed spiritual. Could you explain this? Because this seems that this is, you know, such
very liberal,
subjective, you know, one can, what can be a revealed scripture for someone can be not revealed scripture.
I'm not sure exactly what Rupa Goswami's exact quote was in that. I could find out. But the idea that anything that gives birth to bhakti, that helps us in bhakti, must contain bhakti. So one could say that someone can write something sentimental, another one person can increase his bhakti by it. But he's not actually increasing his bhakti. It's objective what's happening. But something written in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, exactly in the line with no defect, encourages people. No problem. This shastra.
Yesterday we were discussing about Nishtha Brahma Yoga and your devotional service. So where are they situated on Ramshadra Kutra? Where are they? Where is Nishtha Brahma?
Different system of analysis. I'd have to think about it, but it's completely different analysis. Anartha before Nishtha, certainly. Okay, let's finish. So we spoke about Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. Nasta Praesha Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke, etc. So we'll speak about Bhagavatam more in the next chapter. Associating with advanced devotees, so they're serving the devotees. So notice that this is a separate one, that we shouldn't only serve the quote advanced devotees, we should serve all devotees, but we should also especially associate with advanced devotees. Very, very nice. We read that. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is the main anga of bhakti, kalona stevana stevana steva. It's very good. Works, this association, chanting the holy name, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukta, Abhinatvam Namanam. That the holy name, it is Chintamani. The holy name of Krishna is capable of giving everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakura especially has explained that it can give everything just by the power of the holy name. It is Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. It is complete because it is Krishna. It is Shuddho. It is completely pure. It has nothing to do with the material world. Nitya, it is eternal, and Mukto, it is completely liberated. Again, having nothing to do with the material world. Abhinatram Nama Namanam. There's no difference between the name and the possessor of the name. Krishna is no different from Krishna. The name of Krishna is no different from the person Krishna. And if we are pure and chant in love, we will actually experience this. This is the main anga of bhakti, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially spread this. One question was raised on page 107. In the Padma Purana also it is stated the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudev. So the question can be is why will someone who is worshipping Vishnu or Vasudev take many births? And the answer is that Krishna very kindly, Jiva Goswami answers this, but Krishna very kindly allows the devotee to take many births to just simply increase the devotee's hankering and love within his heart. This is a special mercy. So the devotee may take births, but it is Krishna's special mercy to allow him to increase his deep, deep, deep hankering. And that's the actual purpose of the material world, so the sadhaka can raise himself to the highest levels of prema. Not to the highest levels of prema, because that doesn't exactly happen in the material world, but he can raise himself, become perfect as Krishna consciousness. And for that purpose, Krishna gives us these bodies, a devotee body. And then finally, again, living in Mathura, not exactly, again, I was trying to understand the difference between residing in Mathura and living in Mathura. Did anyone have that question? So, in Sanskrit, this is Mathura Mandala Stiti. Stiti means to actually be situated there, to stay there, fixed there. So this is living. To actually stay here. And residing in Mathura seems to speak more, it's coming and visiting more, like that, touching the land of Mathura, coming on pilgrimage, something like that more. So most of these, five of these potent forms of devotional service, Rupa Goswami is now going to explain how powerful and wonderful they are. Questions? Medicine.
What is the reference you hear about Dhamma?
Where is it from? One of the Puranas, maybe Padma Purana. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has therefore called this book Harinam Chintamani. And that book is there. Question.
He says here, chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra is personal, becomes a personal association with the God's face and realize, does it mean pure chanting or just that one day, does it refer to pure chanting? Or also chanting Ramallah, Sadhana, Ramallah?
Means that it's not an ordinary thing. This is why we serve the devotees. Even though we familiarity breeds contempt, and we sit together, we talk together, we see each other's faults. But actually, a devotee is very rare. It takes much all the sanskara or previous pious activities and impressions to become a devotee, join the movement, to be wearing tilak, kanti mala, come to Vrindavan. It's not an ordinary thing. So we realize if we can only see, not that this is the best vision, but it's like a long line out. You know, there's this one picture in the Bhagavad Gita of the steps going up to Krishna, and then there's the steps down. So actually, compared to the number of souls, how few, even compared to the number of humans, how few are devotees of any level? And this world is a very horrible place. So when we're with the devotees, we're with our family, really. And it's such rare, it's so rare. Just like Navadvip Prabhu, he went up, he was studying Hindi. He really wanted to study Hindi. You know Navadvip? Very nice devotee, he's teaching the Gurukula, very Mahabhudi. Huh? He knows the Bhagavad Gita, he knows the Bhagavatam. Not by heart, but he's brilliant. But a lot of it. He really wanted to learn Hindi. So he went to Dehradun, which is a very good Hindi school, Missouri, actually, near at the foothills of the Himalayas. He wanted to spend a year there, but after a few months he just came back. He couldn't stay away from the devotees. So this is, there's, I always, just, not that I've exactly read it anywhere, but from my experience, I perceive that when Krishna wants to give you mercy, he gives it in two ways. One is through association, basically, and the other is through an engagement, a service, where you can really, don't write that down, it's just pure non-speculation. But when you get a service that you can really put your whole heart into, it's really Krishna's special mercy. And when you get real good association, that's Krishna's special mercy. And when you come to Vrindavan, that's Krishna's special mercy. Last question. And then when Krishna takes everything away, that's Krishna's special mercy. That's his special, special, special mercy. You have nowhere to go. And this one, when you have too much service, if you, you know what, it depends. It depends how you mean it. If it's actually beyond the person's capacity, he should do something about it. Shouldn't be sentimental like that. But you should. Sometimes we have to do things way beyond our capacity for some time, though. We're asked by Krishna to do that, and if we take shelter of him, we become able. But we shouldn't be sentimental. We should. Because we've seen devotees romantically try and do things like that, and then. Why are you saying
but still?
But see, if we think like that, then immediately we start thinking, look at these devotees, they're not doing very much.
Looking at like the disintegration very spiritual.
Yes, right. We should look at that, but we should be careful of being critical of the others. Because it's hard to know what another person is going through. We should be considerate. And sometimes the temple management has to do that job. Has to be critical and push to, you know, criticize a little bit. But if that isn't our service, even though it's easier to say this than to do this, but we should, see, that's one thing that we have to learn not to do. Just like when someone is living outside the temple, and then he comes to the temple and he does a little service, everyone loves him and compliments him, and see, everyone sees what he is doing. Then he moves in the temple and everyone sees what he's not doing. And then people get confused sometimes. Hey, wait, everyone used to like me and now everyone hates me. Everyone used to say how sincere I was and now they're saying what a bum I am. So we have to be a little careful and be, because it's hard to know what a person is going through too and what he'll do in the future. And you know, it's hard, you know, we shouldn't take that position unless it's our position to take that position. You know what I mean? Because no one likes to be on the other end of that. And everyone's concept of themselves, what they are doing, is different from other people's concept of what I am doing. My thinking about what I'm doing is very different from what everyone else is thinking what I'm doing. So the general rule is we should be liberal when judging others, and if we want to be harsh on someone, let us be harsh on ourselves, but not too harsh. Not that this is what you would find, but I thought I'd take the opportunity.
I just noticed that everywhere I've been, there's always a few different
answers. We have to be intelligent. There are two kinds of runners. There's the 100 meter dash runner, 100 yard dash, and he runs and he's finished. And then there's the long distance runner. Which should we be? We want to finish the race. But if our Guru Maharaj tells us to do something that's very, very, very heavy, we can speak to him. But sometimes we have to do it anyway, even though it appears to be more than we can handle. But we should generally run the race. Not that we shouldn't want to call it, but we should run the race to be alive at the end. This is what I do. But how to do that? We don't just make up our own way. We always hear in chants, keep good association, avoid the offenses, and if we think we have some realizations about what we should do, we should consult with people we trust. Not that we make up our own program, how we're going to be there at the end.
Thank you.